Good morning, everyone. Glad to see everyone here. If you'll call the roll, please. Yes. Call the order, yes. I'll offer prayer. Lord, we're gathered today in a room full of your servants. We appreciate the day. We appreciate their service. We appreciate the air that we breathe, Lord. I know it comes from you. As we deliberate today on the future of EMS, we ask your divine guidance. We want to do right by the people represented in this room and the residents of our community. These things we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Now we'll do a roll call.
Chairman Gustafson?
Here.
Council Representative Martin?
Here.
Oak Grove Mayor Oliver?
Here.
Magistrate Peterson?
Here.
Troy Boddy? And no one.
Very good. We have three sets of minutes to approve, and I think those have been distributed previously, but could I have a motion to approve the minutes that were previously sent out for the April 5th meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Let's back up and catch the minutes from the March 20th meeting.
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. Those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And we also have the minutes for April 12th. Motion to approve those minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the minutes are taken care of. Now, we have 9/11 billing representatives here today for our presentation. So, you have the floor.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Beverly Basham. I'm the Chief Operating Officer at 911 Billing Services. This is Levi Worth. He's the Director of Business Development. Just going to give you just a little brief. It's been several years since I've been here, but we are excited to be back. We're excited to get started and excited for the changes that everyone is going to see. We have full confidence in what our conversations have been so far and the increase of revenue. So a little bit of very, very brief background. We've been doing EMS billing for 25 years. That is the only thing we do. That's our focus. We are a family-owned and operated company. We have about 50 employees, and we are based 30 miles away in Madisonville, Kentucky. You want me at a board meeting, I'll be at a board meeting. You have questions for me, you call me, you text me. We are here to serve you. That's what we've been doing for 25 years, and we have no intention of stopping anytime soon. We have reviewed some of your policies. We've reviewed how you handle claims internally. I have to say that this administration appears to be doing top notch on the front end. Compared to their peers, you're doing exceptionally well. We have very few services that do as much on the front end as you, so that means that you should be seeing top dollar. Unfortunately, not been. And so we intend to change that. We intend to see significant increase in your revenue, and we are prepared to do that as quickly as possible. As of this morning, we have everything for implementation from you all. So now you and us are both in a hands-tied situation. We're going to be waiting on Medicare to get us flipped on. We're going to be waiting on ESO to get us flipped on. But as soon as we get those flips turned, we're going to be pushing out claims. Now we know right off the bat, we're going back to February 21st. We have a plan of action to get those in and get those billed in under 3 weeks. Okay, so as soon as we can start getting those claims pushed to the payers, we're going to start getting money back in about 2 weeks. Okay, so as soon as we get turned on, we got 2 weeks, and we're going to start seeing some money rolling.
How long do you think it'll be before it'll be turned on? Just estimate it for Medicare.
Max 2 months. 2 weeks, max 2 weeks.
Max 2 weeks.
You're saying 3 weeks to bill, 2 weeks, so 5 weeks total before we start?
We intend to have all of those claims from February 21st to current billed within
three weeks
of being active. Okay, so we'll start pushing out claims every day. We bill every single day. So as soon as we get turned on from Medicare and ESO, you should start seeing money within two and a half weeks.
And you think that'll be about 2 weeks from today before we get turned on? Before you can bill?
Correct.
So the turn-on day, you think is 2 to 3 weeks?
Medicare pays a 14-day payment floor. So if we get turned on in 2 weeks, then we'll be billing out claims within 24, 36 hours. Claims will be going. And then when the claims go, Medicare claims will pay back in 14 days. Okay? But we will have the 2 months of bills that you have not been able to bill yet. We will have all of those billed within 3 weeks. So we're not going to drag, that's not going to be drug out.
The 22nd or whatever to present will be out.
And your current claims will be every 24 to 48 hours.
When we get a clean claim, it goes back out to the payer within 24 to 48 hours. Okay, so you're going to start seeing money pretty quick. You're not going to be waiting months to see money. There's no reason for that.
So Melissa, when would you expect the city to start seeing its reimbursements?
She's saying within 30 days.
Yes.
You're going to start seeing money.
So, but we got to have operating money and reimbursement money. So that's what you got, right?
Right.
You got, you can't, all of it can't go to payback because we got to operate with somebody.
Which is what I'm getting ready to talk about in a minute. But yes. They're saying that we would start seeing revenue roll in 30 days. Once they get permission to file from like ESO and the things they don't have permission to file yet.
Which we estimate 2 weeks, we'll start filing your claims. The first 30 days, you're probably going to see about 10 to 15% of your eventual outcome in revenue. Within 30 to 45 days, you're going to see probably around that 50%.
Wow. Going to be a little bit skewed because we're billing 2 months of back.
Well, I was going to get to that. So the third month, typically our clients see around that 80 to 90% revenue. Now with you guys, it's different because typically when we take on clients, we start billing their claims, their new claims. We don't get a big backlog of claims. With you guys, we're estimating around 2,000 calls. So your second to third month, you're probably going to have a really, really big month. Because we're going to be backlogging all those claims and getting those billed out. So your month, maybe 45 to 60 days, you're going to see a pretty big
chunk of money
that comes in. Because we're taking all those backlog claims, plus your new claims that we're seeing every single day.
And the people that handle your claims on a daily basis are not the ones that are going to be doing the backlog. So they're not going to be, we're not sacrificing new claims for old claims. We have a special team. We have a special team that is working on the back claims. Okay, and they're going to be working on those until they're done. Okay.
So you mentioned additional revenue we can expect or anticipate. How much do you have a number there?
Yeah, I have a number, and it's a wide number because there's a lot of things that come into play. But what we have your yearly increase in revenue on the conservative side, we have your increase being $540,000.
Okay. That's conservative.
Yeah. On the high side, we think 1.1. And what we're looking at is your per claim revenue. We think that we can increase the revenue at minimum $50 per claim. On the high side, probably about $100 per claim, billable claims. And from what I understand, that's around $10,500 in the ballpark. So we think on the low side, $540, on the high side, 1.1. And that's not uncommon. You're not the anomaly. We have many clients that see increases even more than that. Based on what we see you're doing currently, that's what we project you guys to be. We have a small service, Spencer County, here in Kentucky. They've seen a revenue increase by over 100%. They were collecting around $260,000 per year, and now they're collecting $1 million per year. And they use a billing company out of Georgia. So you guys are not the anomaly. We see it with every single client. They see an increase in revenue. Sometimes it's 10%, sometimes it's over 100%. It just depends on what you're coming from.
Can you guarantee us an increase?
I can't guarantee it.
No. What's a guarantee get you? I mean, did the last company guarantee you something?
Yes.
And what did you get for their guarantee?
We got here. So we got.
Yeah, they're looking at what happened to our guarantee.
So here's the thing that makes us different. One is, we are a family-owned and operated business that focuses on EMS. Mm-hmm. That is all we do. For 25 years, we've done billing. Before that, the owners that started the company, my parents are the ones that started the company, they were providers. My dad was a paramedic for 26 years. My mom was an EMT for 18. We care about EMS. This is not just a business to us. We care about the EMS. We care about the EMS family. We care about what happens. And revenue, when you have good revenue, you're able to provide jobs for these people, which when they come to work, they provide care for your community. And when you have revenue, you're able to have good equipment. You're able to carry good drugs. You're able to provide that ER on scene of a motor vehicle accident or a cardiac arrest. And when you don't have funds, no matter how much you want to be there, you can't.
Exactly.
So that is the difference. And I'm 30 minutes down the road, I answer to you. I'm not a phone call away that I'm just hiding behind a phone.
That's different. Yeah, and I can't speak for the board, but I can speak for me personally that you are a family-owned business and we are putting a lot of trust in what you're telling us.
Right.
But you got to remember, we have been burnt pretty hard.
I understand that.
So we're putting a lot of trust in what you're saying.
I understand completely. But I think if you look back at our history, we did business with y'all for several years.
Right.
And we never let y'all down. I never had a complaint, not a single time.
And I believe when we left this company, you guys had well over $1 million in surplus.
Yes.
And that's where we want you to be again.
And your revenue.
Where we all want to be.
And your revenue from the time that we started your billing to the time we ended increased over 60%.
And so, since we've left your billing till now, you've not had an increase. So, and the rest of our clients that we had at that same time period to today have an average of $150 more per run than what they did when we left y'all. So, we anticipate making a huge difference for you. There's no reason why Hopkinsville should not be on the same level of the rest of our clients. And I think y'all checked tons of our references, and I don't think anybody would tell you anything different. If we say something, we mean it. And I don't say things. I mean, I'll give you a rate that if I'm not living up to what we think, then I'm not going to be able to pay my employees. Mm-hmm. So I have a lot of confidence in what I'm saying as well. I'm not in the business of going backwards. So we have a lot of confidence in it. We anticipate a great relationship. We're excited. We're excited to get started. We're excited to see the change. Because it's kind of personal for us when we see y'all in the news struggling. And that's why we reached out and we're like, we want to make a difference. Because that's what gives us the satisfaction in doing our job, is when we can make that difference in a community. And that's what we're excited to do.
Beverly, do you mind talking about the fee schedule a little bit?
Yes.
We're going to bring that up later
right.
in the meeting, but
I'd
rather you
explain. I gave some recommendations this past weekend to your rates. I do suggest raising your rates, and here's the reason why. 90% of your claims are not going to be affected by this one single cent. The reason is because you're capitated. Medicare, Medicare HMO, Medicaid, Medicaid MCO plans, TRICARE, your government plans, they're all capitated. Your Anthem is capitated. So these rates will not affect those claims at all, which is 90% of your claims. So why do we raise the rates then? To help offset the cost, because some of these payers pay less than your cost. So we help to offset. So when people have Aetna commercial, UMR commercial, UHC commercial, those commercial plans, when they have auto insurance, you're able to collect more money and it helps offset your cost from where you're losing. Is it gonna make a huge difference? No. Will it make some difference? Yes. Are we counting pennies? Yes. Okay. Another big thing I did include on here, you're not charging ALS and BLS disposables. This doesn't show up even on most claims because in the billing world it's called you have to bundle those, which that's not really anything that you're concerned with. But Medicaid MCO plans reimburse you a bulk rate for your disposables. So that's why when Medicaid's already paying us $80 to go on that transport, getting an extra $150 for our disposable supplies really adds up. So we do suggest that you add in disposables. And I listed, and the only thing I've listed is the allowable amount to charge for those. There's no reason to charge over. Like I said, all the other payers, it gets bundled into the base. It doesn't even get separated out. But those Medicaid MCO plans, you might as well get the money that you deserve.
What's the TNT on the bottom there?
That's a treat, no transport. So when the guys go out and they treat a patient on scene, Anthem and Medicaid MCO plans will now pay for that. They pay a BLS rate. So you might as well be charging it if Medicaid's going to pay for it.
Very good.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Do we need...
That's in the agenda to bring. It's coming up under new business. I just wanted her to be able to explain.
And I give two rates, kind of a conservative rate and a more aggressive rate. And this is just basically from experience in different companies. And once I have your actual payer demographic to know, like, hey, do you have more of Aetna or do you have more of UHC, your UMR, different ones, I could probably give you a little bit better on, like, fine-tune it. Oh, yeah, you would definitely be better off to be charging the more aggressive rate because you've got a lot of payers that pay in full, you know. But without knowing that for sure, those are the kind of two that they're still better than what you got, okay. Either one of those.
Very good.
But just remember, when you're looking at your collections, you're going to always want to look at what you're net collecting, not gross collecting, because you have a lot of write-off that is out of everybody's control.
Especially once we move the fee schedule.
Right. Yeah, because you can bill $10,000 for a run, but if Medicare's only going to pay you $450, the rest of it's a contractual obligation. So you can't count that against your gross collections. You might be gross collecting 10%, but are you net collecting 90?
What are you seeing as a net collection percentage of gross billing?
Depends on demographic. I have people with very, very high homeless that are, you know, in the 80s. I have other people that have really affluent areas that are 98%. So, I mean, it's going to balance out with your payers and your community. do you have much industry? Are your people employed? Are they unemployed? It's going to variety, you know, be a little bit of variety, but I mean, we should be up there. It's not going to be, you're not going to be down in the 50%.
Well, we're collecting 37% yeah. Right now.
You're not going to be there.
All of our clients combined, their average is about 90%.
No, so, I'm talking after adjustments.
Yes.
That's the net collection percentage.
Yeah. Of gross, I want the gross number. That's what we're looking at now.
Because the gross is all over the board because I have some clients that, you know, they might collect 10%, but they're overcharging significantly. And then I've got other people that are really close to allowable, so it's really high. We never look at that just because it doesn't really matter what you charge people if you're capitated on 90% of your transports.
Which we are.
True. To actually judge how am I doing, you need to look at if I have an ability to collect $10,000, how much of that $10,000 did I actually collect? If I bill $10,000 and I'm only allowed to collect $200 on a BLS run, it's kind of skewed.
If the contract's approved, when do they begin?
The contract's already begun. It's approved and they've already begun.
They'll begin as soon as they get access to ESO.
Yeah.
And Medicare.
Yeah.
We're a couple weeks out before they start actually billing.
Yeah.
But the contract has been signed. We've given them our information.
Yeah, we've got all the data. We've got everything going.
A month after they start billing, 45 days probably.
I sent everything to them as of yesterday. They had everything. ESO, I'm hitting hard. I'm getting some pressure on them to turn that on quickly. And then I'm going to try to do my best to reach out to some people and try to get Medicare and all that stuff transferred over. We just recently did it. We have some contacts. I'm going to try.
That's why we typically, we like to have 30 days implementation period unless we don't have the option. In this case, we don't have the option, so we're pushing as hard as we can to make sure it's done in a timely manner. And again, 2 weeks is doable.
And you're not having to do a Medicare application.
No.
It's just the EDI portion. So in Kentucky's EDI department is relatively fast compared to some of the others. I mean, they could turn it on in 2 days, but it could be 10 days, 10 business days, you know. So we're just kind of like at their mercy, but we do these all the time. So, and like I said, you're not having an updated application, so that's where a lot of time is spent. This is just the EDI department, but they just got to flip a switch to let us start billing. And then once they turn it on, we can bill in 24 hours. So if we get, let's just say, worst case scenario, Medicare still hasn't turned it on in 10 days, but we get access to ESO in 3 days. Well, if we get access to ESO in 3 days, we can go ahead and start pulling those runs from 221 forward, and the coders will go ahead and start working on those, so that as soon as, and then they'll work on those until they're done. And at whatever point Medicare turns us on, then we will immediately transmit those claims. So it could be that we already have a week's worth of claims ready to go when Medicare turns us on. Chances are we'll get turned on for your commercials before we get turned on for Medicare, because commercial usually just takes a very short period of time. We usually have our commercials before we can even pull claims. So you might start seeing some, you know, small payments even before Medicare.
I've already went into EDI and got everything changed. And there's a lady there I'm working with directly to get that. And so that's the contact I'm referring to. So I'm hoping that she'll have some pressure to be able to turn everything on. But EDI has already been transferred over to Amy at 911 billing. We just got to get it approved.
And I just want to reemphasize, I do not feel that you guys have a cost issue within the service. I think you just have a revenue issue. And again, that is not uncommon. I think one of the number one issues that EMS as an industry has is the billing practices. We have moved companies from 5, 6, 7 different billing agencies, and they all see increases in revenue. They all see increases. So I think that's one of the main issues that you're having. And I hate that you had that bad experience, because, you know, we kind of get lumped into that with, and you're talking about they guaranteed this, guaranteed that. We learned a long time ago, we cannot go in and guarantee anything, because it doesn't just take a lot of hard work on our end, it takes a lot of hard work on your end, and we can't guarantee that. We can just guarantee that we're going to work our butts off to make sure you do see an increase. But I think with the team that we have, the team that you guys have, like I've kind of described it at some of the previous board meetings, I feel like you guys have an A-plus service internally. You know, your processes that's been described to us, the way you're handling the accounts, what you're doing on the front end, you're a dream client for us to work with. It's just you've had a F-minus billing company that you've been working with. And that's based off of all the things we've been told, some of the things we've looked at. They're doing a very poor job for you guys. Very poor. And it's not your fault. It's just that that's what they're doing.
And we welcome you to come to our office.
Yeah.
Meet the staff, see our processes. If you have questions, you're welcome to come in. If you're just in Madisonville and you want to drop in, you're welcome to do that. We don't have to have an appointment in time. Now, if you want to make sure that we're all there and not out like we are today, then you might want to give us a heads up. But if you're in the area and you say, hey, I just want to see what they're doing, then jump in. Drop in and see us. We're half a mile from Lowe's.
Very good.
Will y'all be taking on additional personnel?
Oh, yeah. We always have. So they won't be Hopkinsville
right.
people. But we always ramp up. So, you know, our FTE per claim basis, you know, whenever we hire or whenever we take on new clients, we always hire to accommodate for that. And no, we don't try to just work everybody more or just try to cram more in. We always staff for what we're billing. We don't try to sell ourselves short in that area.
And there is no automated billing?
No, we don't have automatic coding and stuff.
Automatic
like that.
Coding, yeah.
Yes, I mean, yeah. We have automated automations coding. In our system, right, right. But we don't have
no. But no computerized
code. We have live certified ambulance coders code your claims that read the reports. It's not like auto-generated, populating in levels of service or HCPCS codes or ICD-10 codes. That is not done. And then we give feedback. So, like, we took on a new client April 1st. We did training with them initially. They're other large service, but their staff just is not grasping proper documentation. And so we're constantly giving, every day, we're giving them feedback and examples. You know, these are things, and we're scheduling retraining with the ones that are having trouble.
That's what the...
You're gonna get feedback. They're gonna be getting feedback. As soon as we see something, we're gonna be saying, hey, this is an area of concern. Let's look at it and see what we can do to correct it. Because we believe education, compliance, and communication is key.
We've got some members here that wasn't in on a couple of our meetings. Can you go over the other amenities y'all are going to provide with our contract as far as training, that
yeah,
kind of
so
thing?
So we provide in-house training. We provide online training. We provide for you to establish a certified compliance officer. You decide who you want that to be. And they can either go to a live in-person class or they can do an online class, but that tuition for the class, we're going to pay for you. Every spring, late winter, early spring, we hold a company class for all of our clients. Typically, that's in Lexington. It's a 1 to 2 day class. It's completely free for you other than your travel. We bring in speakers from the outside that provide education on compliance and educate, you know, just the whole realm of what you need to know as a company. We take care of your medical record requests. Basically, you make the transports, do good documentation, and then we take it from there.
Now, when some of the guys and girls start seeing some things, the only thing you're going to see is attestation statements, meaning your crew signatures. So make sure your crew signatures are on the PCR, because that's the only thing that Philip's going to be sending back to you guys. If you're not used to doing that now, that's one thing that you guys will have to do and you will see from us is crew member signatures. So make sure your signature is on the PCR. That's the only thing you guys are going to really see back from us. Other than that, it will be pickup, drop-off location, matching the narrative, things like that. But we take care of everything past that. You know, if you guys have missing forms, PCS form, patient signature forms, again, we ask everybody, get that, because it speeds everything up. But we do take care of that on your behalf. We don't just hold on to it and send it back to Philip once a month or every quarter. We take care of that. We don't let the claim just sit. And then you receive those automatic reports for things that you do need to correct, like signatures and locations.
Most of that stuff we do through self-auditing. Our officers check these runs for all of that stuff before it actually gets pushed to you.
Good.
Right. So, I mean, we do denials. We post your payments. We do appeals. I mean, if it has to do with the claim, we take care of it.
But training compliance is definitely something that I feel like really separates us from most billing companies. Most billing companies do not provide any one of those four aspects that we do. Like Bev said, we come in, we've already got that scheduled for training to come in-house. We provide the CACO certification for you, the online training, and then the big thing is the Lexington training we have once a year. And we let you guys bring the crew members. We allow you to have so many people come to that class. It's just a general day's worth of training. We feed you, we take care of you, we go out to eat the night before. But all those things we intend to invest back into you, because the better you guys can do on that end, the better we can do on our end. But that's something that most billing companies don't really invest the time into that.
And you ask about guarantees. It's like, because we can't, and the thing we can't guarantee is because if we offer you all these things and you don't choose to participate,
right,
we can't control. So that's why we don't offer guarantees, but we can promise you that we're going to do everything we can and provide you all the tools that we can so that we both have a successful partnership.
Let's change more automated billing.
Yes. Yeah.
So this is more
hands. There weren't initially, but then moved to that.
Yeah.
We reached out to change on several occasions, asking them to do this stuff, review our policies and our procedures, and come to us with ideas, because they're the billing professionals.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, we reached out to them as far as the fee schedule. We were like, we think we need to change our fee schedule. And we had no help with them when they moved. And anyway, that was a mistake.
I'd like to also point out, it was expressed to us that you reached out to change and see what you guys could do to increase revenue. Hey, we're struggling. What can we do? You know, trying to get some kind of feedback. And from my understanding, they had told you that, well, there's nothing we can do. We're doing everything we can. Not unless Medicare gives you some increased funds. That's the only way you can make more money. Well, Medicare has given you increased funds. That's something they didn't mind to relay to you. Medicare had their biggest increase they've ever had last year, over 8.7% increase in your funds. So meaning, if they do everything the exact same way in 2022 to 2023, you would have 8.7% increase in your Medicare money. But you didn't. You've been stagnant for 5 years based off what I read in the newspaper. The year prior to that was over 5%. The year prior to that was, I think, in the 2%, and this year it's about 2%. So even if they didn't do a single thing differently, you would have had all of those increases in revenue just based off them doing the same level of service. So what does that really mean? That actually means that they're doing a worse job for you because they're collecting the same amount with those increases. So actually, like you said, they moved to more automated. They moved. We're seeing a lot of billing companies do that because they don't have the staff to take care of the claims that they're working. So they move them offshore, they move them to more automated, and what does that do? That hurts your revenue, that decreases your revenue. We don't do that. We have everybody that works mostly in Hopkins County. We We have some remote people that have worked in office and they move for various reasons and we want to keep them, they're great employees and they work at home. But we don't have people that work in other countries, we don't do anything like that.
The more you collect, the more you get paid, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. There you go.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the only fair way to do it. We want to make, I mean, if we're not doing a good job for you, if we were making the same amount that we were making 5 years ago, we would be out of business. Because just like you guys have seen in the last 5 years, everything has went up. Costs have went up, your insurance has went up, your personnel has went up, your buying a new ambulance has went up, everything's went up. So, you know, Change Healthcare, they're collecting the same amount they've been collecting on you their entire relationship with you, and you know their costs are going up just as yours are. So if they're not doing any better, you see what's happening.
That's why we're not the cheapest, but we can't cut our costs down so that we can't do a good job for you. And that's what a lot of companies do, is they just underbid, and then they don't have the funds
right.
to work the claims.
We take the cheapest, we see what we get.
So we intend, and when you look at it in the big scheme of things, the amount of percentages overall, it's very little money when you're talking about the increase that you get with it.
It's kind of like, are you looking to save $10,000 or are you wanting to make $500,000? That's what you got to look at.
So, we think.
Thanks, guys.
We think a year from now you're going to have a big difference.
We appreciate y'all coming. Okay. Anybody else have any questions for? Right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So we don't need action.
They are approved and working.
Hey, that special call.
Oh, we'll have to have proof of that. That's later on the agenda. That's under new business. Yep.
Okay, Melissa, you're up.
All right. So March's financials are skewed. Let me just start off by saying that. About the second week of March, we began to notice in the bank account that the revenues were slowing way down. By around the 20th of the month, I think I emailed all of you guys and I said, revenue is dried up. We have no more revenue coming in. At that point, I went to the mayor and Troy and I asked them if it would be okay if we postponed the ambulance board reimbursement for the month. So the ambulance board currently owes the city back around $262,000 for the month of March that we did not pay. We also had some conversations about the ambulance board taking a loan from the city to get over the hump while we have no revenue. We talked about just having the city not take the reimbursements, but what that does on the ambulance board side and on the city side is it messes our financials all up because your expenses won't show what they actually are and the city's revenue won't be what it actually is. And so as a solution to that, we decided it would be best if the city offered a loan to the ambulance board to get through the end of this fiscal year. This loan, the way our revenues are right now, is only going to get us through June. If we don't have revenue starting to come in by July 1, I'm not sure what we're going to do with the reimbursement back to the city. So my calculations, I took the $500,000 plus the $400,000 you have in the bank. Let me talk a little bit more about that. If we had reimbursed the city the $262,000, the bank balance would have been around $170,000. And I was uncomfortable taking this board's bank balance down that low because these people save lives, they need medicine, they need supplies, they need things, and I was not comfortable reimbursing the city and taking a chance on not having any money to buy the things that they need to buy to do their jobs. So when we got there, I lost where I was going after that.
Keep going, you can
do it. All right. So the loan is for a one-year period. Let me go back and talk about that. What we decided was that the loan would be for a one-year period interest-free. We're not going to charge any interest. But if it's not paid back next April, April of 2025, there will be a 5% interest charge on the loan. So we are hopeful that this loan will get you through the hard time, revenues will start coming back in, and then the ambulance board will be able to reimburse the city when all of these backlog of claims get filed, if they collect what they say they're going to collect. There's a lot of moving parts with this. So it is an if statement. If things happen the way they say they're going to happen. We think, I think, oh, that, my calculations. The only revenue we really have coming in right now is the $70,000 coming in from the House Bill 8 revenue, okay? So House Bill 8 is $70,000 a month. It nets about 55. So I took the bank balance, I took the loan, I added the 55,000 for the next 4 months, and I think that the ambulance board will be able to afford making the reimbursements. We may get to June and may not be able to. I am very hopeful that they will be able to in 30 to 45 days actually get some revenue coming in, because if we don't, we may be back here having more hard discussions.
That loan we took from the city is a year payback?
It's a year.
With council approval, it can be extended, correct?
Yes. If we needed to go back to council next April and we don't have the money, you can go back to council and extend it. Y'all will need to approve accepting this loan today. At some point, we're going to need to make a motion so that Chairman Gustafson can sign the loan agreement, because I can't move the money until he signs that piece of paper over there. So right now, the bank balance is still around 400,000. I would tell you, April is worse than March. We have no revenue coming in at all, except the House Bill 8 money. So that is where we are. So back to the financials. Like I said, they're skewed. Revenue for the month was $75,374.89. The payroll expenses, we had already taken one set of the payroll expenses, one set of the reimbursements at $15,230.25. There's another $262,000 that should be here. Operational expenses for the month of March were $38,750.81, giving us actually a positive in the operating fund at $21,393.
That is without the appropriations for payroll.
Right.
Just for the record.
Yep. The capital fund had no activity for the month of March. The training fund had $5,325 in revenue, $8,303 in expenses for a loss of $2,978.50. The grant fund only had expenses of $4,844. We still have remaining in the grant fund $5,156. And that's for that state grant we get every year. And then the House Bill 8 revenue at $70,345, expenses at $15,216, with a total revenue of $55,129. That's the amount I was telling you I added for the next 4 months. It's about $200,000 that I added, anticipating how much money to get the board through over the hump. So it's showing net income for the month at $68,700. If we had taken the $262,000, the net income is around net loss is around $195,000 for the month. So the current bank balance as of March 31st was $441,864. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you guys have about the financials.
Any questions at all?
Melissa, you said if the revenue doesn't come in, we have to come back.
May.
What well would we dip into?
I don't know.
Other than open its pocket.
We would look into it if we have to.
I can't say where, but we'll.
Right.
You would have.
Okay. I can start the conversation now.
I mean, this is going to get us through June. Hopefully, we'll have some revenue coming in. We're just going to have to wait and see how the next few months go. That's where we are.
So it looks like maybe our revenues are understated by $250,000 and our expenses are understated by $262,000
yeah.
for the month.
And if they get everything in like they say they're going to, and we actually start getting those revenues in, and if we haven't missed the timeliness filing on some of them, because some of them are 30 days, right. We know there are some claims we are not going to collect because they're past timeliness.
Sure.
It just is what it is. I don't know what that dollar amount is.
I don't know if anybody knows this, but is there any repercussion against change for letting these
No, because it's
it was
an act against them, a cyber attack. They are still not billing today. As of today, they are still not billing any claims for any services.
Trying to recoup what has expired.
We do that right.
They're called up.
You'll see expire is Blue Cross Blue Shield, which is 90 days. And then you'll see workers' comp, which is 30 days. Those will be ones that are mainly it.
So it's a small percentage of our actual bill.
So the Medicaid, they're there for a year. That's our biggest payer base.
Okay.
So I look at that as money the bank's in there, it's waiting to be processed. We think we're going to go back as far as January and start processing. They were about 90 days AR out when the cyber attack hit.
Right.
And so we're going to have a substantial amount of runs that are going to be processed.
She said immediately February 21st, but our plan is once they do that, is to reach out to change and allow access to everything that has not been billed to move to the new billing company.
So we can't go back on them at all?
On change?
In the contract, they have a clause about cyber attacks.
Yes.
They have liability insurance.
By the time we do it, I bet they're there.
That's true, but the insurance is still active.
Right, right. Well, you know, Change was an independent company, and they sold to Unum. Unum is where the problem initiated. But they're a very, very small cog in a huge corporation. Unum's the biggest medical provider in the United States. So.
That's what happened about 3 months after we got our contract,
right. Yeah.
Is they sold out to them.
Okay. Very good. These reports really don't mean a whole lot as far as the EMS operation revenues and expenses, simply because our revenue and expenses are understated both equally. So,
they're skewed as well.
It's we need all a motion for those financials.
Yes. And we also need to approve the loan, for y'all to accept the loan.
Motion to accept the financials for the period ended March 30th. 2024. Those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
I move we give the chairman authority to sign the contract.
Well, we've already done that. This is the note.
The note.
To sign for a loan.
For the loan, yeah.
Okay. And I've done so.
Okay.
So where's our money?
I'll go write a check today. Yeah.
All in favor of that one?
I
second it. Those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We'll pay it back.
Thank you, guys.
One thing I want you all to remember, we left 911 for a reason. And it's the same company that we walked away from, 6 years ago?
Longer than that.
We found out some more information on the reasoning behind that. And once I found out, I recalled it. Their platform would not recognize ESO, which is our software we use for documentation. So it was slowing billing down because they weren't integrated at the time. So we went to a company that was integrated.
Okay.
And that's probably why they didn't bid, because they didn't have it. Makes sense.
It now does.
Right, I'm sure.
Their software now, yeah.
That was the reason.
Now we have no change in software at all. It's all of the hardware, all the software we use is
going right to
yes,
that.
There's no change.
Chief, your update?
You can see the EMS run statistics. You're welcome to look through those. What I will say, the only update I have before we move forward is how busy we've been lately. Over the last first 16 days of this month, we are averaging 37 calls a day. We are extremely busy. We are out of ambulances every day. We have delay of service every day. We are sending fire trucks to those as we have KRS, KAR requires a 10-minute response to 911 calls. 4 days ago, at one time, we had 5 911 calls waiting for service. Those are waiting for ambulances. We are extremely busy. I was in here the other night at 8:30. We had crews that had not eaten yet. Fire guys were cooking them supper, so when they got back, they could eat. We are busy. We are extremely busy. We are not missing any calls. We are not missing any runs. But again, I've said it and I'll say it again, eventually, we will have to talk about the service that we provide and ask this board what you expect of us and what service you expect. But we are busy, and it's change of weather, it's time of year. We always get busy this time of year. We've worked some really bad wrecks, multiples at a time. At one time the other day, we had 2 extrications going on at the same time. That's just where we're at, and you know you're on a lot of those calls. So just know that we're busy, but we are working. And we're not slowing down, no matter what happens.
Very good. Unfinished business. We have a lot of unfinished business, but let's just go to the business.
So with the ambulance fees, as you know, we brought fee schedule change before. We are bringing it again. That was one of the first things that 911 billing looked at for us. This is their recommendation. My recommendation to the board is to go to the high side for now, let them work it, and then make a recommendation if we need to change. It is easy to change that for them. It's just in a computer. It is what is sent out. It is up to the board. It's the board's decision, but I do not know why we would not go to the high side when they recommend it and then allow them to come to us with changes as they need to happen.
I move we accept the progressive rate of the billing rates.
Second.
Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We adopted the progressive rate schedule as of today, as of when they start billing for us.
Yes, sir.
We have to start advertising them tomorrow.
Probably. Yes.
Okay. As of picking tomorrow.
Yeah, because we have to advertise that rate.
I had to notify K-Beams and apply for the change.
Yeah.
Okay. Now what you're all here for is this budget discussion. And let me just preface any remarks. We have gone from a percentage of salaries to revenue from 60% in 2022 to 97% this year. In other words, the salaries are totally consuming all the revenue that we have. Our revenue's been flat for 9 years. When this happens in the ordinary business, you make some changes. And in the past, I think from my point of view, we've been very, very responsible to all of staff by passing on EMT raises. We reduced the EMT hours by 624 hours, 26 shifts, and kept the salary the same. That created an 18,000 man-hour hole in our budget. And I was part of the group that approved that. In retrospect, that there should have been an opportunity if we're gonna increase our expenses, we've got to increase our revenue. And it's easy to come up with plans to increase expenses. It's difficult to come up with plans to include raise revenue when we're constricted by these contracts. What I would like to see for us, the city is, as of FY25, has raised salaries 18%. 18%. Nowhere in the private sector have you seen those kinds of increases. And y'all do a great job. We know you save lives, but there's a limit as to what an entity can do with these increased labor costs with no increase in revenue. Now, we're hoping to get some increase in revenue. And if we do, I would be the first person to come back and say, hey, we need to reassess where we are. But where we are right now is that our overtime and stipends are going to approach $1 million this year. And our operating loss, had we not had this change situation, would have been about $700,000. That's a loss. That's not a paper loss. That's not a depreciable loss. That is a loss of cash from this operation. That can't be sustained. There's two things that you can do. You can reorganize and get it right, or you can outsource it. And that's what a lot of communities are doing. So from my perspective, I'm trying to save jobs. I'm not concerned about, at this point, I think I figured it's about, on the EMTs, about $20 a paycheck by stopping the stipends.
That is not correct.
That's not correct.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't work in numbers a long time.
$4,000 divided by.
Well, you've got to say also an 18% salary increase. You have to take that into consideration.
Can you say when that, since when?
What?
Just asking it again, I couldn't hear when you said that. Since when was the 18%?
It was 5% in FY22, 6.5% in 5% in 23, 6.5% in 24, and 6.5% in 25.
Next year.
If that's approved.
So what? If it's approved.
Okay.
Yeah.
I
You're not telling the whole story.
Yeah. $20 a month is not, $20 paycheck is not correct.
Well.
It is absolutely not true.
Okay.
Because I would ask for 2021.
So my point is.
2019, with those years they got.
We've been very, very compensating. From a compensating standpoint, I think we've been fair. When we dropped EMT by 624 hours, that's 26 shifts, we raised their salary so that there was no impact to the salary of an EMT when we went to 620. I've got it in my book. It is true.
We did that because we were losing this service. We couldn't staff ambulances. We couldn't hire people. We couldn't keep people. We did that. This board knew that it was not sustainable. 100% unanimously voted, knowing that right now, today, at this time, we would be out of money and have to be subsidized to keep a staff. I was directed to come up with a plan to save this service. We came with a plan that the board agreed to. My plan was to do it in the budget year. This board said, no, we want it next month. We want to provide for our employees. That's what was said. That is in a recorded meeting. Save this service. Yes. Save this service. We were shutting down fire trucks to provide ambulance service. The mayor at the time of the city said, we cannot do that. We couldn't keep people. We couldn't hire people. Come up with a plan. We did that. This board approved it, knowing right now that we would not be self-sustainable.
Not everybody that is on this board now was on there. I just want to clarify that.
Yeah, the judge was here.
Right.
Even worse.
Yeah. But it's a simple fact. Our outgo is more than our income.
That is true.
And we have got, you cannot continue and not make an adjustment. Knowing that, people are going to be harmed just a bit. But would it not be better to take a little bit of a cut than to lose your job? And I'm telling you, they're outsourcing these services all over the country. And then we lose control, and we won't have the outstanding EMT department that we have.
What
right
is it
now.
Costing them to outsource it? What?
I don't know.
I can tell you.
Well, you do know. No, you can't. We have that. We have given that to y'all.
Yeah.
Those are true numbers. That is the numbers that they are giving.
Well, I'm just saying that it's a possibility. It's happening all over the country, regardless of what these numbers show.
Right.
I'm only saying that we need a breather. And our salaries have gotten out of line proportionate to our revenue.
Our salaries have not gotten out of line compared to the job that we do.
Well, no one is questioning what you do. I'm just saying.
So are you taking their pay away?
I'm not
How
taking.
How do you look at these people and take their pay away?
I'm not
How
taking
do
their pay.
You look at them and guarantee them that they're going to get money.
Did you hear
we're
what
just
they
saying,
just said?
Did you hear we're running out?
There's the additional income
the
right there.
The same people that said it right there told us that at the change.
That lady could sell
in
me
three
water.
Months,
and, I mean,
in yeah. 3 months, they just admitted in 3 months it changed. There's no guarantee, she can't guarantee, that somebody won't walk in and buy that business in 2 months and be in the same boat we are now. But you're promising these people money that is not in a bank account. Y'all just heard the report.
All they're asking for is a 6-month buffer period to let them ramp up.
And if that don't happen?
Then we'll have to make some big decisions.
Yeah, we're making a big decision today.
No, we're not.
Yes, we are.
No, we're not. He's asking for 4 months.
You have a vote.
I absolutely do.
And I want you to exercise.
I absolutely do. I spoke to the mayor 2 days ago after meeting with Chief. He said he was okay with 6 months. I asked him about Troy. He said he's okay with 6 months.
And just for the record, he never talked to
you. He didn't talk to you, absolutely. So 24 hours later, he sends out this email. And I'm going to read this email because I want everybody to hear it. It was sent out to Jerry Gillum, the entire board, and Doug Whelan, the city attorney. All, I, Mayor Knight, do not feel it's in the city's best interest to continue paying stipends to the ambulance service. I feel it would be better to increase the employees' pay if we're going to continue to look at with the current agreement. After we get back on our feet with this new billing company, I want to take a look at salaries and see what we can do to make it work for everyone. So we don't want to cut pay, but he's cutting pay. That's talking out of both sides of your mouth.
Well.
And everybody's doing that.
I'm not.
I'm going to defend the city. We're the only one at this table paying the bills.
Absolutely.
Let's be
it's the county's problem.
Let's be and we're the people in this room.
And we're it's we the county's broke. Issues, and we're putting it off on all these people in here.
The Hopkinsville taxpayers are paying the bills.
I mean, you can take us off. This is bullshit.
Well, I don't think.
Then give me your Your financial explanation is sitting right there. She said a minimum of $500,000. They think 1.2.
Can you guarantee it?
No, they can't guarantee it. But they just said we're getting F minus billing company service from the last place.
All right, well, let me ask you this. If they can't guarantee it, and this is not, this is open discussion. If this board was to take an action to say, if our reserves, if the ambulance board reserves get to a certain point, we would issue a stipend. And we would do it at one time, year by year thing.
You know as well as I do, once it goes away, it's gone.
No.
What did I just say? We would act as a board. We would set that limit under of a discussion. And if the board saw to do that, then if the reserves hit a certain point every year, we would issue a one-time stipend. So if the stipend would be what it's called, a stipend, if we do good, if we have money in reserves, you issue a stipend. If we do bad, we don't have any money, we don't issue any stipend.
So you're talking a bonus?
A bonus, same thing. But that's a compromise, I feel like.
We can't call it a bonus. We can call it a stipend.
Yeah, call it a stipend.
Right. So what's wrong with that? I mean, you're asking to wait. So now I'm asking to wait to see how we do. If we do good, we pay the stipends. If we don't, we don't.
I'm just going to make a motion right now that we pause this for 4 months, give them time to get up and running.
And the city has seconded that motion. But I know the city has seconded that.
So you're going to put on the table, is that what we're wanting to do?
He just
table. Yeah.
To give them 4 months.
Give them the four
months. The mayor said he'd give it to them.
Ramp up period.
Okay. Second.
I second it.
Yeah. So the motion is that we take no action at this time and wait 4 months.
I'll take the mayor at his word.
Roll call.
Gustafson?
No.
Peterson?
Yes.
Mayor Oliver?
Yes.
Boddy?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Okay. Motion carries.
If it don't work, put me on social media, blast me everywhere. I'm sticking up for all these people in this room.
And I'm telling you this.
I would do it for anybody in this city, any employee in this city. Figure out a way not to mess with their paychecks. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Take care of your employees first and the rest.
When you don't have any money to do it with and you're going to the taxpayers to ask for it.
And we might have to do that.
Yeah.
We're the only county in the.
That's not true.
How many counties in the state?
It's all of
it. It is true. It's 100% true.
This service was always cash flow positive.
Until
and I COVID. Took a lot of pride in that. He took a lot of pride in that.
I agree. And you all did a great job, but it's not sustainable anymore.
Well,
in today's world, it's not.
A million. I tell you what's not sustainable.
Going after their paycheck not is
going
not
after
an option.
I'll tell you what's not sustainable. And that's $700,000 in overtime and $300,000. That's $1 million in overtime and stipends. It's not sustainable.
Maybe the county has to look at an ambulance tax. I don't like saying the word tax any more than anybody else. But in today's world, we can't help that an ambulance costs 50% more than it did pre-COVID. Mm-hmm. All these supplies cost more.
100%
people's salaries more. Cost more.
So you saying you want the county to...
If it comes down to it, I think we might have to. Do I want to do that? No. But...
Well, that's what you're saying.
That's what you're
we
saying.
We might have to.
And
it's all about presentation.
We don't seem
how you
to have
present
a problem
it.
With the people of Hopkinsville paying the county's bill at this time. That's what's happening.
Listen,
and
Troy,
let's be clear to them.
Let's be clear. The city is the county and the county is the city. We're all one group.
$200,000 wasn't given to me a week ago.
There's been nothing.
And there's no more in sight right now to give to me. Right now, the city is the only one paying the bills here. We're paying for the county. And that's fair. That's true.
I hate it.
That is absolutely true. Tell these people the truth.
But you can't take it
out. I am telling the truth, but the city volunteered to pay. I mean,
they
came and said,
we'll do.
We don't have a choice. Because y'all don't pay it.
So we can volunteer to stop, I guess. Oh, yeah.
No.
Y'all came to us and asked.
No one appreciates your service more than me. You picked me off the street when I wrecked my motorcycle, saved my life. saved my life again at the Y 6 months ago. I'm just trying to make sure that this thing continues.
You picked up Mayor Lynch and he was back out there yesterday on that damn bicycle.
Yes.
Again.
Well.
But let's be fair to everybody in this room. We can't operate bankrupt. And don't let anybody lie to you.
No.
We are broke. And we will have to be back here 4 months from now. And our decisions will be made. And it is at the end of the day, the county's option to do whatever they want. We're broke. We're on borrowed time. Don't let anybody in this room, we are broke.
I just hope bad they do what they're saying they're going to do.
Okay.
And everybody has to take the blame. This board, man, bad decisions were made. Don't let anybody lie to you. Don't let anybody get emotional to you. Bad decisions were made. And we're broke as hell. We got to find that money to fix this. Or the chair is right.
I'm not finding
it's
out.
It's the county's fault.
I'm not finding out of their paycheck.
We're working on it.
It will get fixed.
In January.
Being new to the board, you're putting out numbers, you're putting out numbers, you're putting out numbers, and they don't match.
They're all different.
So.
Agreed.
In the 4 months, when we're going to make the decision, could you at least have your.
We're looking at different aspects of it. I'm focusing on the 18% salary increase, which is unprecedented.
Make numbers do what you can massage and make you say what you want to say.
Yeah.
But in January, we were having this discussion about our condition, and we brought up the fact that we couldn't hire any PRN staff.
And before we adjourn this.
And before we, well.
Let's tell the truth.
Tell the truth.
In 4 months, some decisions would have to be made if money is not in. So I hope you deliver.
We hired all those PRN people, Daryl, from a class that graduated sitting in this room.
I realize that.
That's where they came from.
So there weren't many PRNs available before then.
They graduated that class, sitting in this room, and we hired them the next month, PRN.
We probably need some more PRN.
We got two people working PRN today on ambulances.
If the city wants the county to take this thing over completely, then we need to start that discussion.
Terry, that was the thing. I mean, at the end of the day, that's your prerogative.
But if that's what the city wants, then that's something that we need to sit down and talk about.
It's not something the city wants.
It's all about partnership.
The city's paying the bills. We're just saying, we're stepping up to the plate. Y'all came to county.
We need help.
Both of Jerry and Daryl. I'm just saying, we're not going to lie to you. We're broke. Bad decisions were made.
Either we as a city and the county are going to work together at this, or we, if y'all want us to take it over, then we need to sit down.
Even with these issues right now, and you know it, there is nobody that will provide a service like we provide for the price that we may have to put up.
I agree 100%.
It is not an option.
And it's not a bad thing to ask the county to kick in some money.
We're trying. We're starting this year. I mean, it's on our budget.
You're kicking in $150,000 twice for ambulances.
Look at Daryl.
Look at Metcalf County. See, we compare ourselves to Metcalf County. Is that right? Look what they're kicking in every year. $1.5 million. So that $100,000.
The only way that you're, and I know what you're saying, y'all are pushing for this ambulance tax. I know what you're doing.
I'm not.
Well, then where do you expect the money to come from?
I don't know.
That's not our responsibility. You ran for office. That's your job to find it. It's our job to find, do the best service we can. It's your damn job to find the money.
Absolutely.
So if you have a lemonade sale, you find the money.
So we work together or we don't?
You find the money.
We're finding it.
We're
finding
it on the back of the top of the
hill. There's responsibilities on both sides. We're holding up our end more than enough.
The county, you're never going to tax them for anything and keep asking people.
I know it's political. I get it. Nobody wants to talk about new taxes.
But my mom lives out in the county. If she calls an ambulance that's having a heart attack sitting in the floor, I want her to go get picked up.
And she will be.
Maybe. If we cut this, then we cut services. And then she might be in the floor for 30 minutes.
We didn't cut this.
I don't want that.
I'm saying, but if you cut their pay, we're really cutting
services. We didn't do it.
I know, but in 4 months, that's what I'm saying. In a roundabout way, we're cutting services.
Y'all asked 4 months. That's what we got.
Got it.
And you're right. But hard decisions to be made.
That's what we're supposed to
fill the room with 1,000 people. But hard decisions.
Yeah. Y'all asked 4 months. That's what we got.
Look at it. And
you
services
need more women
are being
on this board because you guys got the testosterone battle going on. This is ridiculous.
We thank all of you all for coming today. It shows your
shows your interest in your job, and I hope you think that...
It's worth arguing, no, it's worth arguing, no.
Hold a second.
You pay your share, the other towns don't.
Hey, I agree.
Crofton's not paying, you pay your share, the rest of them don't.
We appreciate the job that you do, but you got to understand that our focus has to be, how do we make this thing run and not be a burden on the taxpayers? That's, and it has been that way for so long. It's just really difficult to come to grips with the fact that this is now going to fall on the taxpayers.
I don't care if it falls on the taxpayers.
It's their responsibility.
I'm a taxpayer, so...
Can I just say, I would bet you if you polled the people in the county, they would think their tax dollars is going to this service. They would think they're paying for it already.
It's a critical service.
And if they don't know that, then they should be asking, where the hell is it going? Hopkinsville knows they're paying. And that's a fair question, and it's worth a debate. You don't have to leave here as enemies. It's worth a debate.
Well, no, we're not enemies, I mean, we're...
And we appreciate your leadership.
I might need a blood pressure pill or something.
I'm just trying to do what's right to keep this service going. And timing is everything.
So let's not let the media leave here thinking, there are no services.
No, absolutely not. That's the last thing you want to do.
Anybody in this county is scared about anything. There are no services. What you get when politicians get them.
Next meeting, May 21st?
Yes, sir.
10 a.m.? Motion to adjourn.
Second.